Dankie. Ek wil graag ook net vanoggend met julle gesels oor Malawi. En toe in December met mekaar praat ons so met oor Malawi. My broer vraag vir my, hoekom? Hoekom Malawi? Die eerste ding wat by my opkom is Matteus 28, ek dink is vers 30, wat sê, gaan dan en maak disippels van alle nasies en doop hulle in die naam van Jesus Christus en dan eindig ek sal altyd met julle wees. En dis 'n opdrag, om uit te gaan en disippels te maak van alle nasies. En dan sê vir, maar hoekom doen jy dit nie in Suid-Afrika nie? Hoekom doen jy dit nie in Ceres nie? En eintlik is die kort antwoord, maar ons behoort dit te doen. Ons is hierso. Ons moet dit elke dag doen. En die volgende ding wat by my opkom is, ek probeer nou dink, Annelies, kry jy daai ding op? Ek het nou net ek dink dit is Efesiërs 3. Ja. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. En dan die volgende een, asseblief, Annelies, Efesiërs 3, vers 17 tot 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. En dis net vir my so ding, en dit is nou dieselfde wat Anneke nou ook gaan doen en gaan beleef, is as ons nie with all the saints gaan en gaan deel in 'n ander kultuur, in 'n ander belewenis nie, dan kan ons nie die diepte en die lengte en die wyte van God se liefde verstaan nie. Elke keer wat ek Malawi toe gaan en terugkom, is dit net, wow. Weet, jy verstaan net iets beter as jy 'n bietjie in 'n ander kultuur gaan staan, of as jy in 'n ander inkomstegroep gaan staan. Jy sien net die wêreld weer 'n bietjie uit 'n ander viewpoint uit. Ons is eintlik 'n baie generiese kerkgroep, bietjie minder as ander groepe, maar almal is middelinkomste groep, omtrent dieselfde, denkwyse. So ons het 'n baie eenvormige view van die wêreld. En dit help baie as ons 'n bietjie uit daai dop uitklim om die wêreld van 'n ander kant af te sien. En dit is hoekom Malawi. Asseblief die volgende een. Ja, die derde vraag, so hoekom Malawi? Ons is in goeie hande daar. Die drie pastors vir daar is Thomas Tembo en Noel, hulle dra goeie vrug. Hulle is mense wat actually in hierdie wêreld niks het nie. Hulle het 'n klein stukkie land wat hulle boer, en dis waarop hulle geld maak, maar ten spyte van dit, het hierdie ouens kerk opgebou in Malawi van meer as 1200 lidmate, 22 gemeentes, wat hulle op hulle motorfietsies rondry en besoek, en as julle nou kyk daar in die regterkant se kaart van die noorde van Malawi, dis nie al 22 nie, dis nou maar die plekjes wat ek kon kry, want baie van die name bestaan nie op Google Maps nie. En hulle is regtig, soos julle sien, dis nie in die hoofstede nie. Dit is regtig die mense, die armstes van die armstes in die gebiede wat regtig nie bereik word nie. Dit is waartoe hulle gaan. Hulle surf regtig die mense en hulle het 'n hart vir die verlorenes. En dis waartoe hulle uitreik. En daardeur het ons baie om te leer. As ek dink, as ons nou vir mekaar sê, so hoeveel gemeentes het ons geplant in die afgelope 10 jaar? Hierdie ouens het laas jaar 3 nuwe geplant. So ons het baie, baie om te leer. Annelies, asseblief. Ja, dan die ander rede, hoekom Malawi? Ons het 'n lang geskiedenis saam met hulle. Ek het so 'n bietjie gaan vra en die eerste wat ek kon kry wat iemand uit ons gemeente uit met Malawi in kontak was in 2006. wat Rian as 'n student in Malawi was, saam met Tembo hulle en Noel hulle. Ons kerk self, ek dink vir die eerste keer wat Shofar Seresen toe was, was in 2014. Ek weet nie of julle daai tyd of dit julle was in die Albrecht of dit voor julle al was nie, maar ja, ek dink as ons hande opsteek, wie was al almal in Malawi gewees, is dit nogal 'n redelike groot groep van die mense wat hier is. Ja, ek self was die eerste keer in 2019 daar en sedertdien vier keer daar gewees. En so, en ons het al 'n baie lang geskiedenis saam met hulle opgebou. Ons as Shofar Seres is die link tussen Shofar Suid-Afrika en Shofar Malawi. Wat ons doen, so dit is vir ons 'n belangrike rol ook om te speel vir hulle. Oké, okay, so dan is die vraag so, wat is dit wat ons vir hulle kan bied? Annelies, volgende eens, lief. Ons gaan om te serve. Ek dink dit is die belangrikste ding wat ons moet doen, is ons gaan nie om vir hulle iets te leer nie, ons gaan om hulle te dien, en ons gaan om saam met hulle goeders te doen. Die datum vir hierdie jaar is uitgesit van die 27 juni tot die 6 juli. So as enig iemand belangstel, julle kan na my toe kom of julle kan net vir Didi 'n boodskap stuur. Ons sal seker so vroeg in April begin met voorbereiding. Die voorbereiding is gewoonlik so 8 tot 10 weke totdat ons op die vliegtuig klim in Malawi toe gaan. Ons is nog seker, ons maak nog seker wat met hulle te, ons is in kontak met hulle weer eens daai van ons gaan nie vir hulle goed doen nie, ons doen goed saam met hulle. So Pastor Tembo en Thomas hulle is besig om te konfigureer om te sê, okay, so wat wil hulle hê moet ons vir hulle kom doen daai kant? Hoe gaan ons hulle dien hierdie jaar? Dan is dit why do we support our brothers? Die ander ding wat is ons as gemeente support hulle ook in materiële, so ons help hulle om te betaal vir hulle kinders se onderwys. Ons help hulle, ons het die afgelope 2 maande ons het 'n skenking gedoen van R40.000 vir kos en ons gaan nou weer 'n skenking doen van R37.000 vir kos om te sê ja, hoekom doen ons dit? Hulle het, ek dink dit was in 2021, 2022 was 'n groot vloede gewees in Malawi wat almal se oeste gereineer het en intussen het hulle actually nog net nooit weer 'n goeie oes gehad nie. Hierdie jaar is daar letterlik mense wat al vir die 5de keer mielies geplant het. En elke keer sien hulle hoe dit opkom en dan kom die warm winde en waai dit weg. Op hierdie stadium lyk dit baie goed. Dis groen, hulle het goeie reën gehad, dis baie laat in die seisoen. So bid asseblief dat daar goeie opvolgreën is, dat hulle genoeg sal kan oes om dit te kan maak. Maar die probleem is nou, is nog 'n maand of 2 weg van oestyd af. En nou is daar nie kos nie. Malawi het die kos letterlik, voordat ons begin help het, toe ons die eerste keer gepraat het, toe praat hulle van sak mielies kos 65.000 kwacha, dit trek nou al by 80.000 kwacha. Klink baie duur, dit is van R300 na R450 toe opgegaan. En ja, 'n sak mielies is 'n maand se kos vir hulle. Ja, so Annelies, gaan net gou terug na die vorige slide toe. Ja, hoekom moet ons help? Ek lees daar in Romeine, sê hulle, for the present however, I'm going to Jerusalem to bring aid, relief for the saints, God's people there, for it has been the good pleasure of the Macedonian and Achaia to make some contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. So dis 'n voorbeeld wat ons sien in die Nuwe Testament van ons moet die ander saints help waar hulp nodig is. En dan is die vraag, hoe help ons hulle? So die een is dan nou die kos. So as jy op jou hart voel dat die Here vir jou vra om te help, asseblief, soos ek sê, R400 gee vir een persoon vir 'n maand lank kos. So moenie dink ten minste min nie. Jy kan die geld inbetaal in die kerkse rekening en merk dit net asseblief dan net as Shofar Food. Die tweede ding is Bybels. Ek weet nie, daai foto kom nou so mooi uit, maar as jy dit daar aan die regterkant sien, staan Maneka. Nou Maneka het ek die eerste keer ontmoet, toe ek die eerste keer daar was in 2019. Toe is ek en Anton saam met hom, het ons een groepie gedisciple, en Maneka was ons interpreter. En toe ons daar weggaan, toe gee Anton vir hom sy Engelse Bybel. En sê vir Maneka, hier is vir jou Bybel, ek sien jy het nie een Bybel nie. En Maneka was baie blij daar. Daai foto is geneem in 2022, toe ons weer daar is vir die pastor conference. Toe Maneka my sien, kom hy na my toe, die Bybel, en sê, ja, dankie. Daai is een van sy prized possessions, daai Bybel wat hy het. En, ja, ons het, het is rarig om te sien dat in een gemeente mag daar een Bybel wees. So, dit is een groot behoefte. So, ons het opname gemaakt en probeer kyk om te sê, joh, as ons 300 Bybels kan by mekaar kry om vir hulle te gee, dan kan ons tenminste seker maak dat elke selgroep en elke pastor in die 22 gemeentes tenminste een Bybel het, so dat as hulle by mekaar kom, dat hulle tenminste uit die Bybel uit kan lees. So een Bybel, een Chichewa Bybel in Malawi kost so rondom R200. Ek weet, jy kan baie goedkoper Engelse Bybel skry, maar dit help nie in Malawi nie. So, asseblief, as dit op jou hart lê om iemand te seën met 'n Bybel, betaal asseblief die geld in die gemeente se rekening in, en merk dit asseblief net Malawi Bybels. En dis my story, baie dankie. As daar enige vraag is, asseblief, ek wil gou hê, almal wat in Malawi was, steek gou julle hande op, om mee nie. So, jylle sien nou die mense wat rondom jylle sit. As jy enige vraag het daarover, gaan praat met een van die mense. Dit is absoluut a experience om dit te gaan doen. Ek kan net sien hoe dit in allemaal sy levens, hulle levens verander het, as jy die tyd uitkoop. Baie dankie.
Good, dankie Alwie. So if you were wondering, we as a congregation are involved in a few areas outside our everyday. Malawi one, Nepal, Somaliland. So there in the corner, it's just a couple of places that we're involved in. And I want to encourage us not to see missions or these kind of projects as this is how I do God's work. If I go out, go far, then I can be involved in God's work. It's just one area that we are involved and it's good and the Lord is calling us to be involved there. But I think if you have to ask me now, and I hope it's a definition that is biblical of missions, it is when we are led by God and we respond to the leading. In whichever area it may be, whether it is in our business, in our home, whether it's to Malawi, whether it's Somaliland, wherever it is, if God is leading his people and his people is responding, that is for me missions. And that can happen in the midst of every day. So I just want to, I'm not going to be too long. I just want to kind of slate off. I want to finish off with a bit of a testimony in line with God leading his people. And I actually just want to start with that scripture, Exodus, where Moses, and I think it was shared this morning, so thank you for that, where Moses was called from this burning bush that God was saying, listen, Moses, go and save my people. And God led Moses back to Egypt, being in the desert for long enough, and going back to Egypt for one reason, to lead his people out of slavery so that they could do one thing. So that they could worship their God. And so this definition of worship isn't coming together and sing and song and praise. This definition of worship is knowing who God is, seeing him for who he is, understanding his heart for who he is, and as a result of that, worshiping him. Not by song and praise only, but by lifestyle. And this was the call or the leading of Moses' life. Go and get my people so that they can go and worship. And I think if you have to ask me why Malawi, this is just a personal thing, why Malawi, why Nepal, and a little bit of my story that I just want to share personally from our side, how God was leading us. Why? So that I personally would be able to know Him and truly worship. But also those that He's leading me to would be able to get to know Him and truly worship. And that pattern has been there from the very beginning with Moses, with Joseph, with Jesus, with Paul, so that they each, who is being led by God, could truly worship and help others to truly worship. And so I just want to share a little bit of our story. And it's a personal thing, so I'm not going to go too much in a sermon just because of time. So I'm just going to kind of build on this reality of being led by God, just like Annika has been led by God. This congregation being led by God to serve in Malawi, to serve in these areas. But not only that, and yes, this leading that I'm going to share a little bit about is just a few elements. It's not the whole story or the full story, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not going to get into the business side and the financial side and just a couple of elements of how God had led me and my wife before we were in Cirrus. And so I'm just going to touch on a couple of elements. But the reason was always so that we could know Him and worship Him, and the place that He's leading us to, that somehow, some way, others would see Him, know Him, and then also truly worship. But unfortunately, like Moses, there was many that did not. And it's disappointing, and it's discouraging, and it's heart sore, and there's a lot of in-betweens, up and downs, and all the... But the reality of the call and God leading was always there. And so I want to encourage us with just a bit of a where it started with me. And it was long ago, 2007, I think it was. And I was under the stars in Wolseley, of all places. And I looked up and I was overwhelmed by God, realizing that me, this guy from a very dark background, can stand with my God and know Him, and that He can know me. And I was overwhelmed by this reality. And then just behind me came a tick on my shoulder. And it was Tani Elmer was her name. And she said, "Do you know what your name means?" I don't know what my name means. I never thought about it. If you understand my background, I didn't get brought up in the church. I've got no church foundation. I had no cooking clue of all the spiritual stuff. I just realized that there was a beautiful God and that He wanted something with me, and He's made a way for me to know Him. And now everything is new for me. And I was looking up into the stars. And she said, "Your name means a gift that opens doors to the great." And I was like, "Wow, what does that mean?" And I thought, yeah, like a gift. And my task and my goal and my plan and my call is to be a gift that opens doors to the great, our God, however that may look. Now, I soon found out that that gift had got nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the Spirit, because He was the gift that had been given to each one of us so that we can have this gift. And as a result of this gift, we can be a part of opening doors to the great, our God. Just like Moses, just like Joseph, just like Paul, that they would be in a position as a result of the gift of God to open up doors to the great. And I was like, yes. Amen. Tani Elmer, thank you. She gave me a scripture, Proverbs 18, verse 16, that confirmed that. And I was, this was the beginning. And it wasn't only because I had this tick on the shoulder and a nice word. It's because I was standing in front of my God. And I realized His heart for me as an individual, but also for those around me. And those who were far from Him and those that were close to Him. And so the respond or the leading didn't come out of, oh, I want some sort of purpose and I don't know who I am and I want to be someone and I want to do something good. No. The reason was, God, I see You and I want to be a part of what You are doing. Soon after that, I was part of this place where I received a lot of milk because I was this infant in Christ. I came to know Him. I was reborn, but I knew nothing about nothing. And I needed to find out, how do I live this way? And God led me to a place where I could be brought close to the body of Christ and receive this milk, because I was an infant in Christ. And at this place, I received that milk, made lots of mistakes, but it was a safe place for me to learn how to apply this that I received. About 7 years later, and I'm cutting out a lot of details because I just want to put a couple of elements how God led. And please hear me. Forget about the where and the what. That's not so important, because that's where I found myself at that time. You guys are finding yourself in a different place and a different what. But the leading of God remains the same. So this is just how God led us. 7 years later, I met my wife. And we had this urge that it's time to leave this company, this organization. And we weren't sure where, why, how, what, what. And we just knew, yeah, God is leading us out of this. And he gave me one day a beautiful scripture. And it was as a result of we fasted and we prayed. And we said, Lord, we know that you are leading us. Help us where and what. What is it? And he gave us a scripture, our Ezekiel 17, from verse 22. And at that time, we, as a young couple, were part of this large company or organization, and we were this young little twig in this big tree, if you can put it that way. And God came and he shared this thing, this scripture, and he said, he's going to come like an eagle, and he's going to break this twig off, and he's going to plant it on a mountain, says Ezekiel 17. And for some reason that I just knew that I knew that this is the picture that God saw. And he wanted us to be a part of it. This little twig being broken off, planted on a mountain where this twig can grow, bear branches, where birds of every kind will come, find rest and shade, nest, where they will grow and they will go. This is what the scripture says. And that's all that I knew. I said, okay, Lord, we're ready. How are we going? When are we going? What are we doing? Oh, and the process was a long process. But the process involved the body of Christ, where we went and we said, this is what's in our heart. Would you pray with us? Would you help us? Would you support us? Give us guidance. Give us wisdom. This is what we're doing. To cut the long story short, we rocked up in a place called Kouwebokkeveld. And I didn't know there was a town called Op die Berg. Now, if you go read Ezekiel 17, it letterlijk, dat sê, hierdie takkiekie gaan op die berg geplant wees. And I said, Lisa, it's literal. But we got there as a result of the body of Christ. And I don't want to name anyone or put anyone out, but I'm going to Tian and Karen. They said, and it's actually a long story. I wrote a long, dramatic email to Tian one day. And I was working in Somerset West, and this was before the time. And I said, Tian, we've got this idea. We've got this vision. I know that God is calling us. And for some reason, we think it's Kouwebokkeveld. Is there any way that we can get there with a bit of work or with whatever it is? And I sent the email, Tian at eduplan.whatever it was. Yeah, yes, man. Done. And I have to share this. Sorry, and I don't want to take too much time. I put my laptop down. I went to my phone, and I saw someone gave me a missed call, 023. Some sort of number. I phoned back, hello, this Parijs Plaas. He said, Parijs Plaas? What is that? What is that? And I said, no, I've just got a missed call from this number. I'm not sure who, where, what, where it is, who it is. No, sorry, sir. And they broke. And obviously, my Afrikaans at that time, hy was nie so hard nie. So die tannie daar achter die toonbank, sy moes maar nou so bietjie foreign gooi. En sy het nou bietjie gesikkel. En at the end of it, she put me through to this person, to that person. I eventually got through to Tian. And he said, yes, see, Brett, I hear that you guys are moving out of this organization. Is there any way that you could come and work here on the farm? And we've also got some sort of desire to see how we can get involved with you somewhere, somehow. Because part of that plan, and to be honest with you, I'm not much of a youth person. I like young people. But I wouldn't classify myself as a youth kind of guy. But somehow, this picture of this takiki, this branch, where birds of every kind, this was the children and the youth of the Bokkeveld that could come find rest and shade, where they could come, where they could grow, and they could go. And this is all that we knew. And so Tian said to me, we've got some sort of desire. Could you work? There is a gap. There is a this. There is a that. And I said, Tian, did you get my email? And I sent this long email to you. He said, no. What? Where did you send it to? Yeah, this. He said, no, I don't use that email anymore. And so the very things that he shared with me that day was the very things that I wrote on my computer. And there was a long process in between. But at the end of the day, we got to the Kouwebokkeveld. And we worked for a bit, and the Lord led us to the next phase where we could get involved with the youth and the children on different farms where they could come, where they could grow, and where they could go. And it was as a result of the body of Christ. I remember, Orla, I don't want to, but I, for some reason, I got invited as an English person that looked like a hippie doing nothing in the Kouwebokkeveld to come and speak at a women's day for all the farm workers there. Now, for starters, I didn't speak Afrikaans. Ek is nou 'n bietjie beter. But I said, now, why would they ask me to come and speak to 1,000 women in English in this place called Kouwebokkeveld? But I did. And out that meeting, a young lady, don't know if she's so young, went back to the farm and spoke to someone and said, daar sit die jong man. Hy werk met kinders. Hy moet plaas toe kom. Hy het 'n storie, hy kan vir hulle help. And that was the beginning of this little takkiekie starting to grow. And there was on Oplaas a bunch of children that we got involved with once a week with a curriculum foundation, biblical foundation, learning the Bible, helping with education. There's a whole thing. But this was the beginning. I don't know if you remember Franklin. You prayed with him often. Now, we were in the Kouwebokkeveld, and I think a lot of the farmers thought, wat doen hierdie ou hierso? Wat maak hy hierdie hippie met die lang hare wat Engels praat? Wat doen hy hierso? Now, don't get me wrong. I also wondered what I was doing there at times. I really did. Because at times I thought, hierdie klein takkiekie, this little branch is being blown by the circumstances and the tough times and the difficult times and the not knowing anyone, and but just 100% sure that this is what God said. And so we're going. And there was a lot of costs. And there was a lot of challenges. But the one way that God led us as well with that was to get involved at Skurverberg. It's a school there. And to get more involved with the sport and to stay at the Korshuis, the hostel, a couple of nights of the week. Now, if you know the school, it's not ideal. There's lots of children and it's quite dodgy at times. And I had this desire and this urge or this leading from God to go and stay in the Korshuis two nights a week. And now if the farmers wondered if I was a little bit crazy, they knew now I was a little bit crazy. And I got involved there in the Korshuis. I walked in. And I got a bunch of guys that we started walking a road with. Franklin, one of them. And you prayed for him often, I remember. And now he's sitting on Mortister in a position where... And another guy was Denver. Now, why I'm saying this is not about Denver or Skurverberg or the what's in the house. It's about what God said in the beginning and his plan for wherever we were going. And now don't get me wrong, in the midst of that, there is so many disappointments and discouragements where you go after 5 years to a group and you see, and the Lord helped me in the midst of the discouragements, like he helped Moses. He said, you, and I think Christoph mentioned it one time. He said, the measure of success is obedience. Are we willing to obey regardless of what we are seeing, experiencing, feeling? But there was a lot of disappointments, and there still is a lot of disappointments. And so we were growing, and at the moment there was 140 children where we were seeing weekly in small groups with a bit of a team, where we were just teaching from the Bible, teaching how to pray, teaching how to worship, how to come together. And was there transformation? No. And the Lord helped. And he said, all that I want you to do is teach the children the way that they should go, and later they will not depart from it. So are we seeing heart transformation? Not always. But hopefully one day that if one of them have to be reborn, they will know, they will remember. Tani Floy, she learned, she taught us how to pray. We can go back to those teachings. She taught us how to read the Bible. She taught us how to all these stories. And so this is where we're at the moment, where I remember 2017 saying, Lord, 2007, here I am, Lord, I want to be led by you. And this is where I found myself, in an organization, a project-based, and you know what? It's quite heart-sore that we hear so many beautiful testimonies how God is leading to Nepal, to Malawi, to all these projects. I've heard testimony upon testimony of missionaries and how God is leading them, and it's beautiful. But there's some sort of void or vacuum of that similar leading where God gives something very specific and said, I want you to go in this way in the midst of our everyday, in the midst of our marketplace, in the midst of our families. How is it possible, Lord, give us some leading for my family, specific picture, specific leading, and help me to be radically obedient in that, not just in a project. But in the midst of that, this little takiki was growing slowly but surely. And at times I thought, there's just too many birds, too many children. And we felt ourselves, we have to shake the little branch here that the birds can go because it was just too much. But there was this urge, this leading, this desire. In the midst of that, a lot of disappointment, thinking, how do we spend more time with these birds, these children, so that they could truly find rest and shade, that they could truly nest, that they could truly grow and be nurtured and eventually go. Lord, you gave us that picture. You led us in that time. We are experiencing something of it, but it's not it. What is it, Lord? And he led us. And there is so many details that I would love to involve here, but I cannot do it all. But at the moment where we find ourselves at the moment is God has made a way for us. As a result of His Spirit, He's making a way and made a way for us to get involved. He said the next step is, and I wonder why it works like this with timing. I don't really understand God's timing, that He didn't want to do it that time and it's only happening now. Where we're getting involved in farm schools in the Kaubokke Veld, starting with one, where as a company, non-profit organization, as a group of people, maybe it's a better word to say, is that we can get involved in management with the Department of Education in these small farm schools that at a time was going to be closed, where we can trust the Lord and see a farm school with 150 children 5 days a week coming, growing, and then one day going. And God has made a way for us to get involved in a professional manner with the Department of Education, starting with one school. And how it works in the Kaubokke Veld, if you've been there, you will see there's all these little bowls. So there's three or four or five farms, and then there's a school. Then there's three or four or five farms, and then there's a school. And the Lord made it very clear. That should become the place, this little tree, where birds of every kind come, where they grow, and where they go. Now, if you had to ask me in 2007 about what I'm experiencing today, I would have thought there's no chance. And if you have to ask my parents that time, Brett is going to get involved with education, with managing schools, with these guys, they would have said, no, there's no chance. He didn't even manage at his own school. I was very social. I had zero interest in education. So God called the foolish. Because I'm truly the foolish when it comes to this. And that picture that He gave us then, and all His faithfulness in between, even in the midst of storms, and thinking this little branch is not going to make it, has set up all these faith pillars, or pillars that we can look back on and say, God is faithful. Look at what He did with Moses. Look what He did with Jesus. Look what He did with Paul while they were here. He gave them specific leading. And there is every single guy in the book or the lady in the book, he's led his people with very specifics. And so I just really want to come back to that place of saying, sure, the where we're at now with this school project. And I said, Lord, but how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? And He just showed me a picture of a bunch of glasses being stacked up and Him pouring into the top glass where it's overflowing into all the other glasses. And so we are dreaming and we've got a vision that we want to see the 13, 14 farm schools. Now maybe it might not be that much. Maybe it just be one and that's where our road ends. But the reality is that picture of that little tree and the glasses being filled and the farm schools, it's not our dream. And there was times in the midst of this where God said, are you willing to surrender? Because at a point, I got to a stage where I was so focused on this vision and this dream and what we need to do and how we need to do it. And at a point, getting so frustrated, it's not happening. And the Lord said, that has become your God. And you are trying to bring me to serve that. And I often thought, I'm busy serving a vision. I'm busy serving a dream. I'm busy serving this idea that was good, but it's become my focus. Where God helped me to say, Jesus, you are the enough. This is your vision. This is your dream. And I find myself there often. And so I just want to finish off with this, just as a short testimony. It's really just a testimony, along with Annika's testimony, along with the testimony of Malawi, that God really desires to lead his people in all spheres of life, however big, however small. And the reality is, when I'm willing and you are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready, I'm going, there's going to be a lot of storms and there's going to be a lot of ups and downs and there's uncertainties and however it may look, but it's God's dream and his vision. And he's inviting his people to be a part of it. And there might be many on the road that fall away and disappoint and discourage and say a bunch of things. But when I met the Lord in 2007, this was a reality for me. We're in 2025, and it's becoming very, very real for me. Practically. And so may God lead us. And the reason is because it's not the nice little tree to accommodate birds and help with education and spiritual foundation. No, it is so that we can worship him and lead his people out of slavery so that they too can see him and worship him. And if you ask me, why does God lead? It always comes back to that. In your family, in your business, in your personal life, he's leading in Malawi, in Nepal, wherever he is leading you. There's three or four elements that should always be involved. That is you seeing him for who he truly is and worshiping. Personal, intimate relationship with him. It's the body of Christ that is always there. Because he functions through body. If you've got a vision or a bit of a dream or God's leading and it's all just you alone and no one else is involved, I would say red lights, be careful. The body of Christ was the reason why we can function. The third is there would be worship amongst others around you. And there truly is, even if it's a little, God leads for you to worship so the body can function so that others can worship. Does that make sense? And so I would love to hear testimonies of how God led you in your family, in your marketplace, wherever you find yourself, that God specifically said, I want you to do this. Go and do this. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. And maybe it's a journey from 2007 to 2025 and going on. But may we not stop having a desire for one thing, is to be led by him. So that we can worship and so that others would worship, if that makes sense. And so I just want to close off in prayer. And my desire is that I would not classify the leading of God, because there's this very twisted, distorted idea that, oh, it's for him. He's doing that or she's doing that. It's Annika that goes and being led by God. Missions is being led by God and responding in obedience. And may that be a reality for our everyday life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you lead your people. I pray that we would not be a people that just continue, just carrying on because we're carrying on. I pray that you will speak to each one of us, Lord, and give us a desire in our hearts to be led by you, but first of all, to see you for who you are and what you desire, knowing that you've got a plan, you've got a vision, that you are the center and you're inviting your people to be a part of it in all spheres of life. I ask that you will lead each and every individual here in a practical way, where they find themselves now. And as you lead them, I pray that they'll have the grace upon grace to be obedient in the small details, the large details, in whichever way, so that there would be true worship. Us worshiping you and leading others to worship you. And so I ask that you will continue to encourage us with pictures and visions and scripture and everything that will just build our faith, Lord, that we can look back and say, you are faithful, Lord. We want to be a part of it. We want to see it unfold. But that we'd be also willing to count the cost and know that there is a bigger picture and eternity with you. Yeah, I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. We need your help, please. Lead us by your Spirit. Thank you for the greatest gift that opens doors to the great. And we know that this is our only hope, is the gift that you've given us so that we can be a part of seeing that door open to the great for our lives and for those around us. And I pray this for Annika in Nepal, for the guys in Malawi, and for everyone where they find themselves today. If you have the gift, it's a gift that wants to open doors to the great, and that's our God. And I pray that we will go out with that in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.